Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show, where we share our opinions on random subjects from interesting news, social topics, pop culture, art, likes and dislikes, things you've seen, heard, or read, what we did, and what we do. You know, stuff and junk. Hello, my name is Albert.
My name is Ricky.
Hey, Jomming.
And normally for this episode, the second episode of the week, I usually have Jomming and Anna do topics. So the question now here is, since Anna isn't here, Ruti, do you have a topic that you would like to spend 10 minutes on?
10 minutes on?
Or what 7?
Talk about?
Or 7. 8? Or 5?
Topic. I can just go first while you think.
Yes.
But should just be distracted thinking of her topic while you're doing your topic.
That's fine. My topic's not that good. It's pretty boring. And stuff like that. My topic this week is basically...
my cats.
Yeah, my topic this week is like, which story in like pop culture do you guys not give a rat's ass about more nowadays and stuff like that? It goes back to the previous 700, what was it, episode 750, about like, you know, as you get older, you're kind of ignoring things in pop culture, celebrity culture and stuff like that. There are three that I just find incredibly irritating. I refuse to click on any of it.
Can I raise my hand and answer right away?
Yes. Can you answer? Well, actually, can you guess which three I'm talking about?
Oh, I don't know about the guessing part, but my answer would be Kardashians.
Oh, that is one.
I agree with that one.
Never cared.
Celebrities are dating. Yeah.
Never cared. Never clicked. Don't care.
And the other thing is, I think less of what's the guy from Blink-182 that married into it.
Oh yeah, Travis Barker.
Courtney.
I used to have a very high opinion. He used to be on Kevin and Bean. Albert knows this. He used to be on Kevin and Bean all the time. He's a very kind of like a straight shooter, a very kind of like, hey, direct person and stuff like that. I think less of him now that he married into the Kardashians. What do you think of that? You know what I mean? The Kardashians is one of them. The second one that's all over social media.
I guess.
Yeah, go ahead. I think you know what this is.
The Royals.
Yeah, exactly. What is this? What's going on here? Is it that people think she's dead because she faked some sort of photo or something like that, saying that's a recent photo?
Fake it?
I don't know. I refuse to click on it.
Even if it's a real photo, it could be a real photo and it just got photoshopped badly and then it looks fake and all of a sudden people
are expecting it to be fake. Is what I'm trying to say. Never mind all that. Is she dead? Is she alive? Is she dead?
Yeah. Can we just confirm that, please?
Wait, is that the speculation?
That is the speculation. Is she dead? That is absolutely the speculation.
She's very, very, very ill.
Right.
That she looks nothing like what the public image of her looks like, and that's why she refuses to be taken, like take a live video or
maybe the woman is really ill. Jesus.
Which is fine.
Like maybe, like
say
what?
It. Do people think like the monarchs are like invincible, like these like superhuman, natural humans that they don't get ill when they like that? I don't understand what's going on. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't understand the secrecy about it either. Like, why can't this be upfront about it? If she really is sick, then just tell people. Just like. I mean,
it could be she's hiding. Maybe they're going through a divorce, or maybe she's upset, you know, with all these allegations that came up that allegedly he was cheating on her.
Yeah, that's another thing too. Yeah, yeah. And then the supposed video of her after the picture incident, she has a hat on, she has shades on, like for all we know, that really isn't her.
There's even a more recent one. It was trending today. Like a TMZ got some picture of her walking to the parking lot and stuff like that, and people 100% think that's not her. You know what I mean? Doesn't walk like her, doesn't look like her, and stuff like that. Like, I don't want this in my life. How do I block this? How do I get this out of my life?
So the Royals. I mean, obviously, I'm not opposed to. Oh, I think I'll rephrase this. Like the Kardashians, I wouldn't click on stuff about the Royals, but I'm inundated with it because other people are talking about them. So it's kind of hard to ignore. It's kind of hard to avoid it. In my
situation. You guys have gone 2 for 2, actually. You want to go guess the third one?
Yeah.
Third one is, I'm not even sure, but I think it's a Vanderpump Rules.
I think that's still around.
The names that come up in my social media, I think it relates to them. Yeah.
That's still around?
Yeah, they're having a new show. Hulu is giving them a new show.
I know is somebody's cheating on somebody. Somebody is dating somebody they shouldn't, or something like that. I just can't stand it. I genuinely cannot stand it, stuff like that. But yeah, and that's the one of the three we've mentioned. That's the one I'm most actively trying to avoid or not click on anything and stuff like that. The Kardashians have been around for like 100 years now. The Royals have been around for 100 years. The Vanderpump Rules, those people have been around for relatively more recent. And I just can't.
No, they more recently got super popular, but they've been around a while as well, from what I understand. But essentially, there are people are hoping they're going to be the next Kardashians. At least,
well,
people by companies and streamers and whatnot. So
all I know is I hate reality. This type of reality trash TV. I genuinely
so do I.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, I can't really say no. I do kind of like reality TV.
It's the worst.
I was watching 90 Day Fiance while I was eating dinner.
As far as like pop culture stuff that I don't care about, that besides what we already mentioned, I'm not exactly sure what those are. Besides those ones that we mentioned,
I'm sure.
No, like which? What other ones do I just try and avoid?
I'm sure there's a bunch of them. They're not as popular as the Bling Empire or stuff like that.
That falls under the reality TV umbrella, which in general I avoid.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, okay.
How about you, Ricky? Actually, is there anything that you kind of seek make sure that you avoid?
Potholes.
Potholes?
Not what we're talking about. Okay.
Hi, Greg.
I'm really freaking annoyed. I was driving around on Saturday, and I went to go visit my friend in New Jersey, and I'm thinking I'm gonna be in New Jersey. There's not gonna be as many potholes as New York. Freaking potholes for 2, 3, 4, 5 blocks straight. I'm not talking about small potholes that you can dodge here and there. I'm talking about just rows and rows and rows and rows of potholes that keep going and going and going. And it's to the point where actually I do cross the bridge every day to take my boyfriend to work and sometimes pick him up at night, which I'm actually not going to do tonight because he brought the key back. He brought the key with him. So no one's picking him up tonight. But the bridge going into Manhattan, the Queens Bridge, it's forever under construction, but the road, whatever they're fixing, they patch it up. So, you know when they do a patch-up job and it's not really completely flat?
Uh-huh.
So it still feels like a bump. And then you do so many of it that it's just it's just like pothole. You might as well just do potholes. You leave the potholes because they're doing a really bad patch job that whenever you're going over, it's kind of like one of those lines on the highway that you drive over and it just goes one after the other. And it's just like that. It came to the point where, there's no avoiding it. And even if you do try to avoid it, it's like playing Mario Kart when you're driving in the city. Because it's there's a pothole. Everybody's trying to dodge the pothole. Mm-hmm. So everybody's kind of trying to dodge each other at the same time.
It also kills the lane. When there's a pothole in your lane, it kind of kills that lane. And then you have to merge.
That's what my friend said. She said when she came to visit here. You actually know her, Albert. It's my friend that stayed with us back when I was in high school.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. So she came to visit here. And while I was driving around, she goes, the lanes here are kind of a suggestion, isn't it?
Well, it depends. It depends where you live.
Yeah, well, here, they are a suggestion. Because everybody just kind of goes where there's no potholes. And the other night when we were driving back home, I heard something. It sounded like something was dragging. So I was like, what is that? So we rolled down the windows and we started driving off slowly. And I said, no, something's dragging. You got to pull over. So we pulled over. We looked under the car. You know how there's a cap underneath the front of the hood of the car and between the wheels, towards the bumper?
Okay.
It fell. It was hanging by a literal thread. So it's a good thing I had packing tape in the car, so I just taped it up to get us home, and then the next day duct taped the underside of it. So it's getting to the point where we're do we even fix the car? Because if we fix the car, it's gonna get broken anyway driving on these streets, or get a new car, but then that new car is gonna get broken in a couple of years because of driving in the streets. It's a lose-lose. So that's kind of my topic, I guess. So you guys barely have any potholes over there, and I'm really jealous. And every time I'm driving over potholes, it makes me think about California even more. Because I'm just the roads are so nice.
It depends where you go. I mean, if you go to downtown LA, there are potholes. But where I live, and then where you worked over here when you visited, I mean, those are nice cities with nice roads. So
And then after a rainstorm, usually there's some big potholes around. But they patch it up fairly quickly and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
And they patch them up right? Yeah, like, sure. They're forever patching things up, and it's never right.
Yeah.
And there's so much construction going on that there's all these trucks that just pass through all these small roads, and they ruin the roads. They crack it. A rainstorm comes or a snowstorm comes, snowplows come. They just dredge up the entire street, and it takes months, if not years, to even fix up a street. So if there's anything I'm avoiding, it's not really pop culture. It's potholes.
Have you ever called the New York pothole hotline? Did you know there's a new...
It's a waste of time.
It's a waste of time?
Yeah, I didn't do anything.
But have you ever tried it, though?
311?
No. There's an actual, like, 1-800 pothole.
In your city?
In your city. New York State.
Yeah. We do?
According to what I'm looking at right now, yeah. To report potholes on the state's highway systems, including the thruway, the line is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I think Ruthie should just complain about it and not actually do anything about it. I think that's right.
How things are here.
And also over here, it says here NYC 311 is another way you can report potholes.
That's what I said, 311. But nothing ever happens with that. It's like you can complain about your neighbors, you can complain about your landlord, you can complain about businesses.
Look at that defeatist attitude.
I've tried it. I've done it. Nothing happens.
The reason why I bring that up is because I believe, like, you know, my example, like where I live and then Irvine, Anaheim. Well, I don't know about Anaheim. But roads are always well kept, right? No potholes kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Downtown LA, not so much. There are potholes over there. And if I remember correctly, downtown LA also has a hotline that you're supposed to call for potholes.
I'm pretty sure every major city has some sort of like 800 number or hotline.
Yeah.
But it almost seems like if the city has a hotline, then that means it has pothole problems. Because So what? Is nobody calling the hotline?
Yeah, I mean, they'll get you when they get
on. I'm sure they get hundreds, if not thousands, of calls every day, but they're so sick of it that they're just like, we'll get to it when we get to it.
Because
people even call 311. See, the thing is, it's not a designated pothole hotline. It's for literally for anything. Like, I'm telling you, 311 is for complaining about your neighbors, complaining about your landlord, complaining about something being broken in the building that hasn't been fixed, complaining about a sidewalk.
A teenager of color, and stuff like that. That's what they.
That's 911.
Oh, there you go.
If there's like noise complaints or anything like that. If you want a tree planted on your sidewalk because for some reason, like, you just want a tree, you call 311 also, or like you call the parks department. And I'm telling you, like, they get too many varieties of calls that it always goes, it like eventually it's going to get fixed, but it's not like it's going to get fixed within a couple of months. It's going to take like 6 months to a year. And then by the time it does happen, it's like, oh, is that because I called, or is it because it just they finally got to it?
Maybe they just have a really long backlog.
Yeah,
they do, and they say that New York doesn't have any jobs.
Can't believe we have another pothole topic in a span of like a year. I mean, a span of like a few months. But okay, how bizarre!
Potholes are annoying.
Remember how I said earlier that we've never done a bad episode? Maybe this is what. Nah, I'm kidding.
Well, I mean, we already passed episode 750, so you know, we did it.
I'm not going to stand by the milestone of 750.
I will not stand by the quality of our episodes now. What do you think of that? This is my pothole.
Wait. What do you mean you don't understand the milestone of 750?
It's 750?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you celebrate like, you know, hitting like 25, then hitting 50. Hitting 75, you hit 100.
It's remarkable how much mediocre we put into those 70 episodes.
And then when you do 100, you wait till 200, and then you go 250. Then after 250, you go 500.
It's amazing that I've done something this much without getting paid. Yeah.
And then after 500, you do 750. Then after 750, you do 1,000. Yeah. You know, it's like that kind of a thing.
And we're not stopping anytime soon, right?
I guess not.
We're going to keep this mediocre train going.
The moment we start making money from this is when we're going to quit.
Exactly. The moment we make dime one, I said, you know what? No, I'm not going to be a sellout.
Exactly.
I got to keep it real.
It's like, wait, we have responsibilities now because people are making... Seriously. You know, it's like, I think that's a good point, actually. Like, if we're getting paid for this stuff, we have a responsibility to do this, and then it becomes work. right?
Yeah, no thanks.
And then that just becomes like, then it's
becomes pressure. I refuse to do anything more than the 5 minute I panic right before a podcast. Wait, did I have something? That's something to recommend? Wait, what? Do we have any homework? That's the only preparation I have. Just like 5 minutes before the podcast, I sure panic. That's the only preparation I'm willing to commit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I do, but yeah.
Good times.
All right. Thanks for listening. You can find this podcast on Instagram.
Do I have a recommendation for this week?
No, we're moving. That's the next.
Coming.
Oh, the panic.
Do we all have amnesia? No, but anyways.
Obviously, this is 40.
You can find this podcast on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at Stuff Junk Show. You can find me, Albert, on Instagram and Threads as well at Albert5x5.
And you can find me on Instagram at RuthieGrace13 and Ruthie's Cats.
You can find me on social media, JIAMIAGLIOU.
Music has been provided by Gloomy June. Contact info, ways to support us, and everything else is on the show notes found on whowhatwhereswhy.com. Before we go, let's give our 5 listeners some recommendations for this week. And this time, we're going to start with Ruthie. Ruthie, you be willing to talk about this. Go ahead.
Yes. I really, 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 really highly recommend Constellation on Apple TV. It's such a good sci-fi thriller. I can't really say anything about it because anything that I would say would give it away, would give away spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
All I can say is, what's her name again? I can't remember the name of the actress, but yeah, Constellation on Apple TV. It's about an astronaut who went into space, comes back, things look different. And it's just like an unfolding of things, of strange things happening. Like I said, it's a thriller. It's very thought provoking, and there's so many little clues in each episode that I found myself watching each episode maybe 2-3 times sometimes, just because like there's so many Easter eggs in each episode that there are entire YouTube videos on each Constellation episode, and we're only on episode 6. And I think it's going to be 8 episodes, so only 2 more till the finale. All I can say, it's like it really pulls you in. It really sucks you in, and like the plot line, the storyline is just really good. Like I said, I'm sorry, I can't say anything more mm-hmm. about it because I'd be giving things away once I start. But yeah. Highly, highly recommend Constellation on Apple TV.
Have you ever watched Lost, Ruthie?
No.
Because the way you describe
it. I didn't get into it.
Because the way you describe this show reminds me of Lost, where there's a lot of stuff that happens in the show. They add the little things here and there to juice up the mystery kind of thing. You know, is it a mystery box show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a mystery. Mystery thriller.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between a mystery show and a mystery box show.
You know what, guys?
I've never heard that term. What is a mystery box?
A mystery box is when you put an item, not an item, when you put like a plot point into this narrative that you don't necessarily have an answer to, but you put in there just to make people think about, oh, what could that be? You know, kind of thing. You know, so that's where the mystery box comes in. If they have answers for those things, great. If not, well, it was left there for your imagination, you know, kind of thing.
I don't know. I think I'm really hoping that it's going to be answered.
Wow. Getting lost flashbacks here.
The thing you have to do right now is actually just Google, is there a season two of Constellation? If there's a season two, if it's a limited series, then they're obligated to answer most of the questions that they pose and stuff like that.
They better.
And
maybe you guys could tell me the name of the actress. She was in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Noomi Rapace. Noomi Rapace.
Yeah, I see her right now. Yeah. And you know what? The funny thing is, you know, since you recommended Constellation about an astronaut that goes through mysterious stuff, I'm going to recommend the other TV show where a mysterious astronaut goes into space and comes back and some mysterious stuff happens. The Signal on Netflix. It's a German TV show. It's in German. But also, she goes into outer space, weird things happen when she gets back, and they're trying to figure it out. I'm 3 episodes each, and to be honest, I'm doing this mostly as a joke because the 3 episodes I watched are okay, but it's not, it's, but it keeps, it's consistently on the top 10 of Netflix's TV show.
Yeah.
I would like a little bit more, a little bit more mystery boxes, Albert, like just put it. You know what I mean? You can speed things up a little bit, but it's okay. I'm still invested. I'll finish it. But The Signal, on Netflix.
Yeah, I was surprised that that's like a really popular show on Netflix. You know,
have you tried it?
I have not.
Yeah,
so. I think the reason why is because when I saw the poster, it looked like it was Shia LaBeouf. In the poster,
it kind of does look like Shia LaBeouf.
It kind of does, right? And then I glance at that again. Nope. so yeah, I'm being unfair, but yeah, it's not Shia LaBeouf. So
yeah,
but yeah, I mean, is it in English? In German?
No, it's in German. Mine's in German.
It is in German. Okay,
you? Yeah.
So it is like dark, right? It's like okay.
No, it's surprisingly not. It's not actually not that. No.
The show Dark.
I was thinking about all the dark stuff I'm associated with Germany.
Is Constellation in French?
No.
Okay, all right.
I haven't seen Dark, by the way. Is Dark any good?
Supposedly it's really good.
Yeah, I know.
Supposedly it's really good. Okay.
But wait, so which one is, what language is Constellation?
It's in English.
Yeah. Oh.
But it's made by French people, right? I guess.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I don't know.
Look at that. Of all the Easter eggs you could have hunted down, all the YouTube stuff you could deep dive under. Hey, who made this?
I'm very invested in the story.
Is it the French people? Dirty French people? Or was it American? It's a red-blooded American. Anyway, yeah.
Wait, it says your production company is UK, France, and Germany.
Yes, that would make sense.
Okay.
Because it is British actors, American actors, and Noomi Rapace.
Yeah.
Swedish.
Well, you know, since we're recommending,
you have a third one.
Well, the funny thing is, I actually do have something because Ruthie suggested a show about mystery and all that stuff, like what's
if
going yours on.
If involve an astronaut, I will stop this podcast. I would never be on this podcast.
And then Jaming has The Signal, which also involves like mystery and like space and whatnot.
Oh, it sounds like you're stretching it. Then it sounds like you're going for a stretch.
You know, they wear suits and whatnot.
Yeah.
Well, I also have a show that I'm going to recommend, and I don't normally recommend shows anymore, but I will this time. And it does involve characters in suits, and space is involved in some point, you know.
We're not going to go 3 for 3.
Not really.
Yeah.
But Boo. But definitely, definitely a mystery show, right? Now, I will recommend this by Shay telling you a story, okay?
Yep.
So over the weekend...
I have a bad feeling about this. Go ahead.
So over the weekend, by the time you hear this episode, it'll probably be done showing it. But G Kids got the theatrical rights to show End of Evangelion in theaters.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm gonna watch it. Right? When was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So Jaming will have seen it by the time you listen to this episode, folks. Mm-hmm. But wait, have you seen the TV series?
Of course. How dare you? All right, first of all, how dare you?
But you also have seen End of Evangelion before, right?
This came out
27 years ago.
I know. I can slightly spoil it, right?
No, don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
Oh, after the podcast. Okay.
Okay. But point is that, so 27 years ago, this was released in Japan, obviously. And it's the TV series most famously had a lot of mysteries. Like,
yes,
they go in so many different directions on mysteries. And a lot of times, a lot of people will complain that, oh, they're not answering the mystery kind of thing. It's just very typical. So I have seen, although G Kids is promoting this as the first time on the big screen in the US, I have to say that in 97, I did watch this in a big screen in the US, mm-hmm. right? And it maybe it was like a rented theater that an anime fan club did. That mm-hmm. might have been the reason why I was able to see
it. You call it bullshit?
No, I'm not calling it bullshit. I think it's okay. A technicality thing,
yeah.
right? So this is now the official release in theaters for this mm-hmm. movie 27 years later, right? Even though I've seen the movie before, I've seen it maybe like once a decade. I watch it like every decade practically. I have the DVD here at home to watch it.
Yeah.
This is still like one of my most favorite anime series ever, right?
Of course.
And I'm like, I'm going to watch this in the theaters because this is like one of my favorite things. And
same here.
My God.
It's called respect, Albert. It's called respect.
And also, I just wanted to get traumatized again. Because thing about End of Evangelion, if you've never seen it or if you're not familiar with the series.
Happy ending. Everybody goes home. Everybody gets a big hug.
it is like, you know how people talk about like Game of Thrones kills people here, you know, like they has like a lot of scandal and offensive things that happen. Like this is a thing that does not, this is a story that does not care about the viewers. That it does not care what you feel for these characters or what you think about this story. We're gonna do what we want to do. That's End of Evangelion. Okay. It is one of the most tense experiences you can watch in a theater, especially if you've seen the series. That's a point. Because there are things that happen to your favorite characters and just in general the world that just kind of like is mind-boggling that this movie,
everybody goes
this movie does this. It's just like it's crazy. And the funny thing about End of Evangelion is it's actually a replacement of the last two episodes of the TV series because Gainax famously ran out of money to finish the series. Mm-hmm. So the last two episodes had a lot of still shots. A lot of still shots and a lot of abbreviated storytelling. Where it really made a lot of viewers go like, I have no idea what happened. And it doesn't seem like they're willing to tell us what happened. Right? So after...
It's a mulligan. It's a do-over.
Exactly. So yeah. So essentially what happened is like a lot of people demanded like, hey, you need to answer our questions. Like, what happened? Like, what was that? What was that ending, right? So, from the popularity of the TV series, he was able to get funding to make this movie. And if you watch the movie...
The original GoFund movie.
Yeah, there's so many production companies in the beginning because all these companies pulled together, gave it the money, hey, redo the ending, redo the last two episodes, and he made a movie out of it. Mm-hmm. And my God, he, once again, did not care what viewers thought. If people hated how he ended the TV series, he doubled down. He doubled down, but gave him the visual flair that they were looking for, right?
And, are you not entertained?
Well, that's the thing, though. Let me just say, at the end of the movie, people walked out of the theater silently. it really is like a very like traumatic experience watching this movie.
So what is the washing? Oh, sorry, guys.
Because it's like, this is the kind of movie that A24 would release, right?
Yeah.
Just to F with people kind of thing. This is the kind of movie that most genre filmmakers would never release anymore, would never do anymore because they know they will piss off their audience. And people are so adverse of pissing off their audience, they would never do something like this. End of Evangelion is such a unique item. I've never seen anything like it, and I still haven't seen anything like it. It's
a singular piece in pop culture and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Quite like it. I have a couple of follow-up questions. Number one, because my memory of all the images is kind of blurred and stuff like that. After the podcast, I'll figure out if I saw this movie and stuff. But anyway, let me ask two things, non-spoiler things. Do you recommend, because Evangelion, the TV show, is on Netflix.
Correct.
Do they have the movie? Do you watch Netflix, the series on Netflix all the way through up to the last two episodes, stop and watch this movie? Is that the watching order?
So this is my recommendation. My recommendation is, and I've done this before, is watch Neon Genesis Evangelion, the TV series plus the movie End of Evangelion.
But do you not watch the last two episodes that's on Netflix and jump to this movie?
No, get the full treatment.
Get the whole thing.
Get the whole thing.
But you should keep in mind the last two episodes and this are kind of like merged together or something where you have to hold both realities in your mind. Both endings in your mind, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I think the movie End of Evangelion will clarify some of the mysteries that the last two episodes of the TV series briefly showed you. Like the last two episodes of the TV series, Ruti, they will literally show you like 1 second of a still frame of a certain character face down on the ground. And you're like, wait, what? How did that happen? Right? Okay. And all the TV series did was just like, yeah, that's what happened. I'm not telling you why that happened, but that's what happened, right? In the movie, you see what happened. Right? And maybe you're like, maybe I didn't really want to see that happen.
So my second question is, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the 2010s, my man remade Evangelion, the series, into a series of four movies, right?
Correct.
Do you recommend watching those four as a replacement of the Netflix, or do you just watch everything as a whole?
No. You haven't seen the Rebirth series? The redo series?
I saw the first episode. I saw the first movie. I haven't watched all the way through.
So the whole thing, my recommendation is to watch everything. Watch it from Neon Genesis Evangelion, the original, all the way to the last two episodes. Watch End of Evangelion. You can skip Dirt and Dead and Rebirth, which is like a recap of the TV series, right? Sure. Watch End of Evangelion after the TV series. And after End of Evangelion, watch the redo movies.
Nice. Right? Because those movies, the one I watched, it's really, really pretty.
They are. They're really pretty. So the reason why I say watch it in that order is because, and the reason, and even though you see them as remakes or whatever, by the end of the redo movies, you realize that this whole thing is part of a whole that needs to be experienced throughout.
Interesting.
And yes, you will see scenarios and narratives that you've already seen before in the TV series or in
but it's worth it. It's part of a whole.
There's a reason why that is. Interesting. By the end of the whole thing, you'll see, oh, there's a reason why I had to re-experience some of these things in this.
My last curveball question is, do you think the people that make Jujutsu Kaisen season 2 will adopt this philosophy to kind of redo the last like 10 episodes of season 2? It's a small dig in Jujutsu Kaisen, which I love.
I think they're embracing what they did, Javing.
I love Jujutsu Kaisen. When I talk about the best of the best, at its best, it's the best TV show on TV. But boy, they talk about ran out of money or ran out of animation for the last few episodes. But anyway, that's a bit of a curveball.
Well, here's another thing, listeners. I mean, if you're not familiar, when anime is released in Japan, a lot of the times, maybe a lot of times in quotes, okay? But when they release it for broadcast TV, they release a version. When it gets to the DVD and Blu-ray, hey, look, the episode looks prettier.
Yeah.
So if they have extra money, they will redo certain scenes to make it look better on the home release that you pay for.
There was a scene at the end of Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2, one of the last episodes, where it felt like it was like Rush or the previous, and the audio wasn't even synced. I think there was audio, but they didn't sync it in or something like that. It was really. It's a wild season of television. That season 2. It's the best of the absolute best at its peak. Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2 is awesome, but boy, last few episodes, it's like, hey, where the money go, guys? Anyway, it's a bit of a tangent. Sorry.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's a where the money went. It's ran out of money. It's
ran out of time. It's one of those. It's gotta be one of those. I don't think that's what they're. Anyway, it's this whole thing. I don't get into it. Sorry, I apologize.
No. Because some of the stuff you're talking about, like, happened towards the no routine. No spoilers here, but and listen, no spoilers here. But but towards the end, it does seem like they ran out of money or to do certain things, right? I've seen comments online go, hey, maybe you guys should give MAPPA Studios a rest because clearly they're overworked. If this is the result of their work with this show,
yeah,
you know, it's like really pretty in the first half of the season, and then suddenly gorgeous. you're like, you're like, what happened here? It's like, are they missing? Are they missing stuff? Like
the prologue, those first four episodes, gorgeous. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, but it's like maybe they're overworking the MAPPA Studios for animating this, and this is actually a current thing that's going on in Japan for the past decade.
Yeah.
In terms of like animation, people are finding out that anime studios, and especially the animation teams, are being overworked to the point that some people have died. Okay.
Yeah.
And it is an alarming trend right now, but everybody's going for the capitalistic goal of like, hey, make money, come on, let's bring it out kind of thing. So, yeah.
I am of the philosophy, if they ask me to vote for the such thing, I'd rather have any, not just animation stuff, but any studio where I'd rather wait extra 6 months, a year, whatever it takes for them to get the quality right versus rushing it, making a deadline, stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
It's like, take your time, man. It's fine. It's okay. There's endless amount of things to watch and stuff like that. I'll figure it out. You know what I mean? Just don't kill yourself.
So besides the tangent, and I guess also watch Jujutsu Kaisen, watch all of Neon Genesis Evangelion. 26 episodes, 25 minutes each, available on Netflix. Watch the end of Evangelion movie, which is also available on Netflix, only an hour and 26 minutes. Okay, so that's not that much commitment. And then there are four movies that you can watch on Amazon Prime Video for the Evangelion redo movies. And those are also fantastic. But nothing can top end of Evangelion, which even now, I watched this like a day ago. It's still in my head. And this is a movie that I've seen since the 90s. And man, it just sticks with you. It just sticks with you so aggressively. And you're like, I'm just depressed. You know, it's like, it just, if you want a movie to make you depressed, watch End of Evangelion.
Great. Feel good movie of the year.
Just watch the very end.
No, not watch the very end. You gotta experience it. And man, like I said, if this was released as a new product for today's modern fans, they will hate it so much. Because it does not care for the audience. Like, we'll do it. We'll tell our story our way. We don't care if your character, your favorite character, lives or die.
Yeah,
we will do it our way.
Shout out to the creator. It's a singular piece of work by him. Basically, it's like he, you know, it's not, you know how we always use the expression four quadrant. He is not going for four quadrant entertainment stuff like that. He's going for me. This is important to me. This is my ideal. This is my story, and this is my how I view life. I'm gonna tell it the way it is. You know, you either get on board or shut up. I don't know.
And there is also an unorthodox thing about the movie too, because like I said, like we're saying, it's a redo of the last 2 episodes of the TV series. So in the narrative of the movie, it is episode 25 and 26 with credits in the middle of the movie. Right after episode 25 ends, you see the credits. And the reason, and part of the genius about this is that there's a song playing while the credits are running. Listen to the song, because the song is also important to the story as well. All right. And then after the credits ends, it goes straight to episode 26. So it is a singular experience of a movie to watch, especially after watching the TV series. And amazing, amazing. But like I said, it is ironic. A lot of the fans consider this a masterpiece, because it is a masterpiece. But if this was released today, those same exact fans will hate it so much. You know. So yeah. But yeah. Evangelion, still in my top 2 of my favorite anime of all time. And is the general opposite of this. It's an anime that you cannot even see on TV now. It's just sad. I want to see it on the streaming service.
Don't make me ask. Just say what it is.
Meizu no Koku.
I have no idea what that is.
Rumiko Takahashi's Meizu no Koku. That's still my favorite. Well, my top 2.
It's not Crunchyroll. It's not.
No, nobody has it. It's so frustrating. Nobody has it. It was made in the 80s, and it was released as a DVD series and VHS series in the 90s. And I think some licensing issue has cropped up, so it's just in limbo right now. You can't find it.
Oh, do you have it?
I have the DVDs, of course. But I would love to see. I would love to recommend Meizu no Koku and go, hey, go to Netflix or Crunchyroll and watch Meizu no Koku. But I can't even do that. It's so frustrating.
Well, you could just. If our fans want it, you just mail it to each, you know, be like a thing where they pass it along.
Like within the 90s. Because, you know, we're the true anime fans, man. We waited in the mail for our anime.
Again, I don't want to mention, I want to follow up to our Dragon Ball Z discussion last week. Albert mentioned you could rent Dragon Ball Z from one video store, blah, 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 and stuff like that. But you know what it is? You only had that one tape, right? You know what we had to do? What did you do? This is incredible. You had to take 2 VCRs. Do you remember this, Albert? You had to take 2 VCRs. Yes. So you put the Dragon Ball. 2 VCRs. This is madness. And you put the tape in, you play on the TV, and you hit record on the second VHR. So you record that episode. And then that's the one you pass around.
On the other VHS. Yep.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Kids these days, they don't know how good they got it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. This was episode 751 of the Stuff at Junk Show. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this podcast has been a Who It Worst by Production. There was no commercials. There were so like 20 minutes into the movie, there were people shuffling into the theater. You're like, oh shit, the show started.
Oh, there's no commercials. Okay,
that's it had like I think it had like 1 G Kids ad, and then straight into the production credits. I'm like, wow.
Okay, so 7:30 is the showtime. I gotta be there at 7:30.
I would say 7:05 is when the movie actually starts. But yeah, because you know they have to do the AMC pre-roll kind of thing. Well, even though like the little logo they do right before the movie starts. So they do that, and then they showed 1 G Kids trailer, and then the movie starts.
Oh, it is at 7:00. You're right. I have my tickets for Wednesday at 7:00. I get there early. All right, good to know.
Is yours the subtitled version or is it a dub?
How dare you again? The disrespect that you show me.
Because I mean, I had the question too. Mine is supposed to be Japanese, right? And then I was sitting there. I'm like, well, this better be the Japanese version.
It better be in Japanese. I remember I double checked.
Because it's only 1 screening for the day, right?
Yes.
So it better be the Japanese version.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see.
It better be. I mean, they advertise it as
if
that.
If it's not, I simply miss it. I'm just going to cancel it.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen it before anyway, so it's not too bad.
It's somewhere in my repressed memory. Let me see here. Japanese with English subtitles. Yeah, so I'm good to go.
It should be.
Yeah.
It is nice to see it in the big screen, though, especially the part with...